Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. The beast that the Bible speaks of in Revelation 19 is none other than the capital A Antichrist. We distinguish him by calling him the capital A Antichrist because there are many Antichrists, small a. They have been given a lot of power, this small a Antichrist. Men like Hitler, Stalin, Mao Zedong, any individual such as Caesars and people like all the despots of the world, where they rule according to their evil whims and fancies, where they will slaughter and murder thousands, if not millions, of their enemies, and anyone who would stand in their way, they would kill. These are all the characteristics of the Antichrist, small a. But not a single one of them could come close to the capital A Antichrist. The reason is because of the size or the territory of their control, absolute control. All of them have tried, they tried to expand their boundaries and occupy other countries. Hitler had tried, and he, in his expansion, wanted to have an empire that will last 1,000 years, so he boasted before his loss and his death. None of them will succeed. But this man, the Antichrist, will succeed. For the first time, there will come a human being that will have power that no one had ever been given before on planet Earth to rule the world. He will rule the world. The Bible describes him in very vivid detail in Revelation chapter 13. And both him and his assistant were in this Revelation 19. He is described as the false prophet in verse 20. But he is also called a beast in Revelation 13. And both of them are beasts. And that's how we came up with this title, The End of the Beasts. Do you know that the Bible warns us of certain individuals' deeds on earth, like Judas Iscariot? And when they are revealed to us as people who will do evil deed, especially to Christ, you can't pray for their salvation. You can't pray for the salvation of Judas Iscariot. He has no salvation because the Lord has revealed to him as a person that cannot be saved. No matter how powerful the witness, and the witness of Christ was indeed very powerful. He was part of the 12. And Jesus was perfect in every way, preaching, teaching, living, miracles, everything. And yet, Judas Iscariot on his own will decided to follow his evil heart's desire and do the work of the devil, betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ for the price of a common slave, 30 pieces of silver. And that's how he was condemned. But these two beasts will be far worse. Far worse because of the impact of what they did. Not just to a nation, not just to many nations, but to the whole world. They are evil men that you cannot pray for their salvation. Who these individuals are, we do not know. We only know that they will come, they will exist, and they will be given the power to rule this world. The earlier chapters of Revelation, with all the revelation that God has given to us, you can't help but to know that he will come from the great Roman Empire, because God described his empire as made of clay and iron. And iron in the book of Daniel was the iron to represent the Roman Empire. So he will most likely come from the Roman Empire, which is present-day Europe, EU. And he will be a person because he will be cast into the lake of fire. And he is a person with many eyes. The Bible tells us that means he will be brilliant. And he will, worst of all, call himself a Christian. How do we know that? Because in Revelation 13, he will masquerade himself as the Messiah. That's why he's called the Antichrist. He will pretend to be killed, and then he will be seen by the world and presented to the world as having been resurrected from the dead. A huge statue will be used to honor him, and for the first time, the statue will be given power to speak. And there will be millions, if not billions, of people who remain after the rapture. And they will bow down and worship him, and they will accept the mark of the beast, or else they cannot buy or sell. And they will have no qualms bowing down and worshiping him. As Christians, we have the best sense of right and wrong, justice. Because the Word of God and the indwelling of the Spirit of God will give us that ability to have a sense of justice that is anchored in God's Word and God's truth. And therefore, when you see and when you read of such despots persecuting Christians, children of God, and all they wanted to do were to obey God's Word, to tell them about the love of God in Christ. And what do they get in return from the world of the devil? With all his many antichrists and culminating in the capital A antichrist, get rid of them. Persecute them, kill them, do whatever it takes, shut their mouths. Do you feel a grief? Do you feel the need to cry for God's justice to come upon this earth? Because the Bible tells us that the saints in heaven cry to God for exactly that justice. The justice of God will be unleashed and we will come down when the Lord himself will appear. And everyone will be judged according to God's standard of justice, which is perfection, which is the Word of God. And it is the justice that is described as the rod of iron. It will be unbending, it will be unyielding. Those who will be evil will remain evil and they will be cast into hell. Those who are wicked will remain wicked and they will be cast into hell. Those who are holy and righteous, they will remain holy and righteous. And God will be pleased with them. This is the day of judgment for everyone. But in this case of these two beasts, God has prophesied a special judgment for them. You just imagine the kind of evil and wickedness that they have done, that God had to reveal to us how they are going to end up. Why? Why did God do that? Basically for our sake. Because of our righteous sense of justice. You and I cannot accept the fact that these people who persecuted, who did so much evil, can get away with it. The cry for justice is very real and very true. Don't confuse forgiveness with justice. By all means, forgive those who hurt you and harm you. But do not forget the justice that must accompany forgiveness. When you and I utter the Lord's Prayer, do you know the part that says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? By that verse, by that part of the prayer, you are basically crying for God's justice. You know that, right? Because in heaven, only the Word of God rules and reigns. Everyone in heaven obey the Word of God. You know that. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because in heaven, God's will is always carried out. It is always done. And so when you cry to God for God's will to be done on earth, you are basically crying for God's justice to be found on earth. And what we are going to consider tonight is the justice of God. And that's how you must look at this punishment. It's not chastisement. This is punishment. This is not discipline to bring them back to the Lord. These are people who call themselves Christians. And this is not just calling himself Christian. He called himself a Messiah. He calls himself Christ. I am the Christ. I am the prophesied Christ of the Bible. And now I am the fulfillment of all the prophecies which Christ had already done. But he is going to deceive the world, and he will succeed in deceiving the world because the other beast, the false prophet, will do a lot of miracles to promote him. To say that the power that I'm showing you in all the miracles I'm going to do is from the first beast, the Antichrist. He is the one that I am promoting. Just as God sent the Holy Spirit to promote Christ, just as Christ says, I'm here to glorify the Father, the Antichrist will glorify the devil, and the false prophet, the second beast, will glorify the first beast, the Antichrist, who will masquerade as the Son of God himself. False Christians are bad enough. Anyone who calls himself a Christian but do not live the life of holiness according to the scriptures, he is presenting a false Christ. But they never call themselves Christ. But this one would. This one will do so in the future. There is nothing worse than someone who called himself a Christian, but now we have who call himself Christ, but he is not the Christ of the Bible. He is a deceiver, and he will deceive the whole world, and he will succeed, and the whole world will have his mark, and they will bow down to him, and they will look to him as God, and they will worship him as God, who is like unto the beast, who is like unto Jehovah, in all his might, in all his glory. These are rhetorical questions that you find in Old Testament poetry, pointing only to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus himself. But now he will rob the glory of Christ that belong only to Christ, and he will heap it upon himself. And so the first thing we see in verse 19 is, where will the end of the beast be held? It will be held at the final battle of all battles. And I saw the beast, that is the Antichrist, the first beast, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Who was this individual who sat on the horse, as described for us in the earlier verses of chapter 19? The Lord himself. When the heavens open, the Lord himself will sit on a horse and his armies will be with him. And the armies would include all the raptured and resurrected saints and all the good angels. It will be a battle of all battles, because this will be the battle of the Lord Jesus Christ and his people and his angels versus the devil and his followers and his demons. No battle will be as big as this one. And the place, Armageddon. That's how the Bible describes it. That's where it will be located, the valley of Megiddo. And that's what the Bible says. You see this in Revelation 16. The sixth vow, and the sixth angel poured out his vow, Revelation 16 verse 12, upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Who will be the kings of the east? Plural. Russia. And don't forget, China. And India. Their armies are huge. They numbered in the millions. The river Euphrates will be dried up so that they can march through unabated, unhindered. That the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Plural, don't forget. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. All right, so these are demonic creatures. It will be a spiritual battle, even though you may see the physical real human armies assembling all their weapons of war. And they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. This is the battle that Revelation 19 verse 19 described. Same thing, same place. Instead of being frightened, they will pluck up the courage that the three unholy Trinity will give to them. And instead of kowtowing and bowing to Christ, they sincerely believe that they are on the side of God. They sincerely believe in the millions that the Antichrist is indeed the Messiah. And the false prophet, with his many miracles to deceive the world, to neutralize the miracles that God will do through the two witnesses, and one of them was Elijah. Neutralize, and they will be defeated by the false prophet and the Antichrist, and be killed. And they are going to rejoice when that happens. Don't forget, the devil is a very great deceiver. Don't forget that he can make millions of people do the will of the devil, thinking all this while that they are worshiping the one living and true God. We are seeing this with our own eyes right here and now, through the charismatic movement, as well as the Roman Catholic Church, and many more of the new evangelical churches. All you need is to go into all these church websites, and their churches are part of the World Council of Churches, the ecumenical one world church of the Antichrist and the false prophet. It will gain momentum and it will take control. It will cover the face of the earth, and all the religions of the world will be part of this. They are already part of this. You can read this, you can see this on their church website. Sorry, on their World Council of Churches website. Their membership. It's all there. It's gaining momentum since its birth in 1948 officially. The battle of the great day of God Almighty. And behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. That means keep yourself holy, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. This is spiritual language. Not physical nakedness, but spiritual. That means you are not born again in Christ. You hold on to your holiness even if you have to stand alone in prison. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. When we were in Israel, when I was there for the first time, I was amazed at this valley. Because all this while, when we started our journey in looking at the land of promise, it was mountain everywhere. When we started, it was from the south. As we crossed the river Jordan from Petra's side, it was Jerusalem, mountain upon mountain upon mountain, a series of no end of mountains, as a matter of how high. Some were hills, some were real mountains. But the moment we travel further up north, into the Galilean region, and then the guide brought us to these mountains that were surrounding this vast valley, known as the Jezreel Valley, also known as Megiddo. Why? Because this valley is surrounded by many mountains. And one of them is known as Megiddo. It is the most important of all because this mountain has been conquered and defeated and occupied by more than 20 over nations. Because this mountain was the crossroad of the trade routes. To those who want to do business down south to Africa, the continent of Africa, you pass through this mountain. And so the one who controls this cross section from the top of this mountain controls the trade route. You want to do business across to Turkey and into Europe, you cross here. You want to do business across to Asia, you cross here. And that's why this Jezreel Valley is also known as Megiddo. Because from there, you can see the entire piece of land. So flat, it is so shocking. After seeing series of mountainous region from the south as you travel up, mountain upon mountain upon mountain, then suddenly, one big piece of flat land, as far as the eye could see, when there is no dew or cloud to cover it. It is amazing. Because it's surrounded by a lot of mountains, and we traveled through all the different mountains, not all of them, some of them. And we could see down into the valley from different angles and different positions. And one of them was the Mount Precipice, right next to the village of Nazareth. And the guide told us that this was probably one of the mountains that Jesus Christ must have played as a boy, because it is within walking distance from the city of Nazareth. And he was there as a child because his father's business was there, and you could see this. And it is not a problem for millions of soldiers to assemble there and to gather there with all their weapons of war, all their atomic missiles and whatever you can imagine and think of. It can easily occupy 1 million, 2 million people. Easily. And the Bible says, when the battle was lost, the blood would be so, so high that it will come up to the horse's bridle. Because this place is like a basin surrounded by mountains. And so when people die and they bleed, and if there are millions of people, their blood will contain that. And it will flow out very slowly because it's all surrounded by mountains like a giant bowl. That is a description of this battle. And the Lord warns us that these evil men, when they deceive in Christ's name, when they deceive the whole world, making them think that they are following Christ, when in fact they're following a servant, a slave of the devil himself, in worship, in praise, in adoration. These two beasts will be punished by God in a manner that is different from the way that God will punish the rest of the world. And God revealed them to us, warning us that these men, by the global scale of their deception, will receive the worst kind of punishment that you could ever imagine that God would do to any human being. In the case of Judas Iscariot, he will die and he will end up in hell, like everybody else. But these two characters, at the end of their lives, when God will come down and destroy their entire armies, as the Bible tells us, they will gather to make war against Jesus Christ himself and his army. This is going to be the final battle. This is their audacity. This is their arrogance. This is their pride. Instead of Christ coming down from the heavens, it should be a glorious event where the people should bow down and worship. Instead, they gather to fight. Just imagine the audacity and the blindness and the foolishness of sinful men. This is total depravity described for us in very vivid detail. They see the glorious Savior. They see him in his glory. We are not talking about seeing Christ walking on earth in his humanity, where he set aside his glory. When you look at the Jesus who walked on earth at his first coming, you can't see any difference as far as the person is concerned, other than the miracles he did, other than to listen to his preaching. But by just looking at the person, physically speaking, there is no difference between him and Peter and all the other apostles. He looked exactly like an ordinary mortal. That is why it was so hard for them to exercise faith that this ordinary mortal is indeed God incarnate. Even though when they saw the miracles, only God could do these miracles. And yet they struggle. Even those who were born again, their faith was weak. They yo-yo, literally. One moment by the miracles, he is God. Next moment they see him tired, hungry, sleepy like me, he is man. That was the struggle of the apostles. That's why after 3.5 years, they still struggle. They were born again, that's for sure. But humanity by sight, deity by faith, it was not an easy thing to hold onto Christ and believe that he is the Messiah when the humanity is by sight, because faith and sight, they are not friends. They are contradictory. It's by faith, it is not by sight. If it's by sight, it's not by faith. But when Christ walked on earth, humanity by sight, deity by faith. But of course, after his ascension, then when they think of Christ, it is now both by faith. For us, both by faith. We haven't seen him. We will not see him on earth. For us, it's much easier. Humanity by faith, deity by faith. But for them it was a challenge. But for this evil Antichrist, he comes as the Messiah himself to deceive. And he deceived successfully. And so he dares to challenge God, the Lord Jesus himself, who comes in the power of his great glory, because he had people power, democracy, the plague of modern governments, people power, making them people think that they are powerful because they have the numbers. That is the lie of the devil. You don't have power at all. We are not powerful people. Just because you think you have the numbers, you can get what you want, therefore that is power, that is foolishness. That is deception. That is the lie of the devil. Your minds have been blinded by the devil. There is no such thing as people power. We have no power, no real power. Only God has real power. The power that matters. But they didn't fear him. They dared to challenge him. They dared to fight against him. This will be the end of the two beasts. Where will they end up? And the beast was taken, that is seized. This is not just taken. This is seized by force. That means God will destroy his whole army. And the blood will flow. And God will ask them to come and eat, telling all the vultures, all those carrion birds, come and eat, have a feast. And with him, the false prophet, the other beast, who wrought miracles before him, that is the false prophet, the first beast, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worship his image. Was that not what cast the devil out of heaven, Lucifer, where his name became Satan and the devil now? He wanted worship. He failed in heaven, and so now he succeeded on earth. He managed to deceive millions and millions of people made in God's image to bow down to him, and he loved it. And that's why the judgment is so severe. He deceived the whole world using the name of Christ and get them to bow down in worship to a false god, the devil and the Antichrist. And the false prophet assisted him by doing miracles to copy and to imitate. Because how could this not be Christ? Look at the miracles. He has to be Christ. That's what the false prophet did. That's what the second beast did. And so God said, these both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. This is how God described the lake of fire, a place of great pain and torment. Their punishment must be many, many times worse than the rest. Because the rest of them, when they died on earth, they were cast into hell. It is also a place of pain and gnashing of teeth. And then the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20 at the end, hell will be emptied up and these people will be taken out of hell. And what body they are going to receive, we are not told. And then they will be cast in the lake of fire to join the beasts, the Antichrist and the false prophet. Why the distinction? Why did God cast these two beasts who are now in this mortal flesh like you and me? And instead of separating their human body from the spirit and then cast the spirit into a lake of fire, God bypassed hell for them. They didn't have to go to hell. This was before the millennium begins. God could very well have cast them into hell, just as what God will do at the end. After this, every human being will be assembled by God through the angels. And there will be a separation of the sheep and the goats. There will be a separation of the wheat and the tares, as the Bible tells us in Matthew 13, at the last day, before the millennium begins. So that all those who belong to the goats, who are not born again, who were not at the valley of Megiddo, to join the devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet to fight against God in the battle of Armageddon, they will be scattered throughout all the rest of the world, and Jesus will gather them. And through the angels, they're going to be separated. The goats will be put one side, and they're going to be cast into hell.
And the sheep, the wheat, they are going to be cast into, not cast, they will enter, brought, enter into the millennium. God will recreate the earth and they will enter the millennium. And there will be at least 144,000 of them, 12,000 from each tribe. So God could very well, at the end of the battle of Armageddon, like the rest of the goats who were cast into hell in spirit, their body and the spirit will be separated like anybody who dies. God could very well do the same to these two beasts. But he did not on purpose. Why? Because of the enormity of their transgression. They deceived the whole world in the name of Jesus Christ, calling himself the Messiah, making them having the mark of this Messiah and bow down to him in worship, when in reality they were worshiping the devil himself. Because of the enormity of their transgression against God, and we know that God is a just God, he never over or under punishes anyone. And if he were to punish them, whereby they will be cast alive into the lake of fire in this mortal flesh, that means the pain that they experience without end will be far, far worse than those who have been cast out of hell and taken out of hell and then cast in the lake of fire, not in this earthen vessel, in some other body or no body. We do not know what kind they will have. But it will not be like these two. Imagine the pain that they have to go through, and there is no end. And they will come. These two men will come and solve the world's problem. That's why God described the beast with many eyes. The world as it is right now is already in chaos. And once chaos continue to mount and it will become more and more chaotic, what the world longed for the most will not be retaining their sovereignty. It's going to be peace. Right now, everybody is thinking of themselves. But there will come a point in time where everything will not work, everything will fall apart, the economy will fall apart, everything will be insignificant because everyone will be crying and longing for peace. And then this man will rise and he will promise them, I will solve the world's problem and I will bring peace back. I promise you peace. Is that not how God described him? A man who will ride on a white horse carrying a bow without arrows? That means he's going to conquer using peace. Without arrows means he's not going to use the weapons of war to conquer. He's going to use peace to conquer. And did the Lord not warn us? When you hear from the whole world, peace, 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 then the rapture will take place. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Everything is now fitting. Everything is now falling into place. The chaos that we have in this part of the world, the Hong Kong situation is going to go crazy. In the thousands and thousands and thousands, and whatever the government says, they don't seem to care. How it's going to end, only the Lord knows. And then now Britain, because of Brexit, another large group of protesters creating chaos. It is so easy now to mobilize hundreds and thousands of people with our modern technology. Chaos everywhere. Uncertainty. Watch. Listen and see. Compare what you watch and see in our world against the Word of God. And you cannot help it, as a child of God, not to see that this world is worthless. That only in Christ can we find safety. Open your eyes, sons and daughters of the Most High God. And if you are parents, open your eyes bigger. Your children lean upon you to point them in the spiritual direction. Don't focus on their subjects and studies concerning the word of man, but the word of God. Sons and daughters who are not married, you have parents who are not believers, you be the best sons and daughters your parents have ever seen, because you don't have much time left. The urgency of the times is here. And we cannot remain slothful and sleep on as if we have another 100 more years to go. We don't. The signs are telling us the return of our Savior is round the corner. Many of our plans will not become a reality. Our children who are now 10, 12 years old, you think they're going to go to university? You think so? You really think we have another 10, 20 more years, the way the world is changing? The confusion, the problem, the trials that you and I are facing. The climate, you think it is man's power to change? You can't change anything. The world is in this shape and condition because of God's doing, because of the sin of the world. The world is becoming like Sodom and Gomorrah, promoting homosexuality and fornication, exactly as it was prophesied by Christ 2,000 years ago. Before I return, the world will be like Sodom and Gomorrah. What were the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah? Fornication and homosexuality. Is it not here? Is it not covering the face of the world? Exactly as the Lord had prophesied. Before my return, the world will be such. And the gospel will be preached all over the world. It's already all over the world. And then there will be false Christs and false prophets who will do great signs and wonders, and if it were possible, deceive the very elect. The charismatic movement is known as a signs and wonders movement. If it is possible to deceive the very elect, that means it is so real and so much like real Christianity, but it is not. And so the true elect will not be deceived. You mean those who are deceived, they are not elect? That's what God says. So don't think that it is a small thing that you are found in these kind of churches. Take heed the warning of God's scriptures. The last days, the tail end of it, are before us. Please, awaken. Get right with God. Open your eyes to see and understand that these two individuals, they will come and they will deceive the world in the name of Christ. So Christianity is going to come up on top, and the whole world will be seduced and be deceived. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. That means those who were not part of the two beasts, they will be killed, and means they will be sent to hell. Which sword proceeded out of his mouth, that is the word of God, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So the armies, they will die, the bodies will remain, and the soul cast down to hell. But the two beasts, they are going to be cast alive into the lake of fire. So they will be the first one there. And then at the end of the millennium, the devil will join them, as the Bible tells us in the last part of verse of chapter 20 of Revelation, which we are going to look at, God willing, in the next few messages. Whose side are you on? You love the world? These two beasts will be your God and your King. You love the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus will be your God and your King. Choose well, dear friend, because your choice is important for your own soul. The world is now in the control of the devil because God allows it. And these two individuals, the beasts, will rise up to the fore, and they will be the prominent leaders of the world to solve the world's problems. And Singapore, together with the rest of the world, will bow down to them. And it will be in the name of Christ. That means Christianity. Make sure that the Christ that you believe in is not the Christ designed by the God of this world. The Roman Catholics, the Charismatics, the new evangelicals, these are all masquerade designed by the God of this world to deceive. The only way that you will not be deceived is to know God's word well. The only way. Otherwise, we will be deceived. And once you are deceived, bear in mind, your salvation is on the line. How is that possible? How is that not possible? Because we are now given a gospel in our context that is false most of the time. The gospel of Jesus Christ that is floating out there, that is propounded by millions of Christians, is a false gospel that cannot save. Why do you think Jesus says, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? Why did he say that? That means if the word of God is not given in its entirety according to scriptures, you can't believe in any Jesus that saves you. You know that. That's how important the gospel message is. Why do you think the Bible says believe in this part of the gospel according to scriptures? Believe in the death and the resurrection of Christ according to scriptures. The phrase according to scriptures is crucial. Because the last days it will be the gospel that is not according to scriptures. And when you believe in the gospel, you have no salvation and the greater darkness has fallen into your heart. Because you think you are safe, but you are not actually safe in the process. You are still heading toward hell. And you will find out when you die, and it's too late, you can't get out. That's why the Bible warns us about these two beasts that will come. The world will follow them in the name of Christ. So open your eyes and see Christianity for what it is, and do not think that the Christians around the world in our time, they are not dangerous. They are extremely dangerous. We have people who will leave sound biblical churches and they just hop into any church because of proximity, because of whatever reason, their loved ones is there, their friend is there, their girlfriend, their boyfriend is there, their moms are there, their dad is there. They don't care. They think that as long as the church is fine, it is not fine. That is the perilous times of the last days that we are in. Open your eyes. The beast will come in the name of Christ. That means he will call himself a Christian, not just a Christian, the Messiah. And he will do miracles to prove it, and millions will be deceived. Don't be part of the million. Don't be. Make sure that you are born again by the many evidence of salvation that God has given to us in the New Testament. Plenty of them. You love God's word. You understand God's word. You love holiness. You hate carnality. You don't live in the flesh. You live in the spirit. You walk in the spirit. You love to be with godly Christians. And you love always to live in a way that is pleasing to your Savior in holiness. Always. And so when the word of God rebukes you, you love it. When the word of God sanctifies you and cleanses your thinking, you love it. You don't find it offensive. You don't find it a burden. You delight in it because you heard the voice of your Savior. Do you have all these experiences? If you are not, the perilous times are before us. Please make sure of your salvation in Christ. If you are truly born again, you get out of all these bad churches. You cannot remain in charismatic churches. You cannot remain in Roman Catholic churches. If you are truly born again, the Spirit of God will convict you and you will get out. Even though you may not know so much of the truth, the word of God, but you will know enough to find it a vexation of spirit to be in those churches. And you cannot stay. But if you are comfortable, you be careful. It is not a matter of head knowledge. It's always a matter of heart knowledge. We had one graduate from our Bible college, my classmate. And he was also once upon a time a pastor of a BP church. But do you know what happened to him? He was a pastor of a BP church for more than 10 years. But sadly, tragically, somewhere along the line, he turned his back on Christ, on Christianity. And now he is a proponent of charismatism. And the worst part was, he shared that he has always been inclined toward that direction. He was our classmate in FEBC and he was the champion of conservatism. And yet, all that conservatism of that he championed had been one big farce. By his own words, I've always been like that. Right now. So please do not think that you have head knowledge, you have theological knowledge, you have degrees in theology that makes you a Christian. It's the heart. And you know your heart, and God knows your heart. Or else, these two beasts will become your Lord and your God. They are heading toward the lake of fire. And if you have their mark on you, that's where you will end up as well. But in Christ, He is the one and only Savior that you must believe in. Study the Word of God well, and make sure that the Christ you believe in is found in the Scriptures, not just some words of man, but the Scripture itself, the Word of God. That is the only safety. The Jesus that came to save you, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a perfect life, suffered and died for you, rose from the dead, must all be according to Scriptures. And with all your heart, if you confess and believe, you will be saved. And you will know it because of the transformed life that you know in your heart, in your mind, through your words and your action. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, put the fear of God in our hearts, O Lord, that these two powerful beasts, with the whole world backing them, and with the power of the devil energizing them, and they will be soundly, thoroughly, completely destroyed and punished by the Most High God. Put the fear of God in our hearts, O Lord, that we may and must never sin against Thee, but to know that the deception of the last days are before us. Open the eyes of Your people that we may see. Grant us the courage to do what is right, to stand apart from anything that has to do with the evil one, with all his deceptions culminating in the promotion of the beasts that the Bible has warned us will have only one just conclusion. They will be destroyed and be cast alive into the lake of fire that burneth without end. O God, be merciful to Your people today, for we know that the perilous times are before us. Help us to see and to know Scriptures, that we will make certain of our salvation according to Scriptures, that none of us will be deceived, that with our eyes open spiritually, we will see and understand the truth that is given to us in Christ because of the evidence of salvation we have experienced in our lives, from within our heart and our minds and our lips and our actions, that we truly know that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. May we all search the Scriptures in order to make sure our salvation, because of the perilous and dangerous last days that we are living in. May Thou be merciful to hear our cry, O God, for Jesus' sake. Help us. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.